ExtremeHealthRadio.com.
Do you post that in a lot of them?
Not really.
Oh, brother.
Oh, brother. So I never know how long I should wait to talk. That's always the dilemma. But we're 30 seconds in, I figure it's time.
That's a good time.
Is that a good time?
You don't wait until 33?
33 seconds.
I think if I ever decide to get a side job, it's going to be to record jingles.
Oh, really?
Look how good that was at the beginning.
I know. That was just professional quality. I mean, you can't beat that.
Talk about putting yourself out there. So embarrassing.
Oh, man. That was good.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, that was
very
good.
I better be careful what I joke around with you, because I don't know you're secretly recording things, and I never know what's going to be used against me.
I do that in a court of law.
Yeah. Hopefully not in a court of law.
Hopefully not.
Oh, brother.
All right. So, thanks everyone for joining us on another episode here of Extreme Health Radio. This is episode 384. Did I get that correct?
You did.
384. And this is actually a pre-recorded show, and I just kind of want to let everyone know. I don't know if you knew this, Kate, even. At the beginning of the show with LaShonda.
I know everything.
Okay, tell me what I was going to say.
At the beginning of the show with LaShonda, we just started talking. We didn't introduce her.
Oh, that was close.
Ah, darn. Okay.
That was close. I actually had her mic turned off.
Oh.
For about 30 seconds or a minute or something like that.
Oops, awkward. So is it going to be an awkward start?
Yeah, I asked her a question and then there's just silence.
Our guest wasn't very chatty.
No, she didn't have much to say that day.
She was really offended by your question. Okay, well, there you go.
But eventually, within about a minute and a half or so, I turn it on and everything's in the world's good again.
Awesome. This was a great interview.
Yeah, this was fun, huh?
I really enjoy this interview.
Yeah, we pre-recorded this on, what, June 13th? Or no?
Yep, June 13th, 2015.
June 13th, 2015. So, yeah. So, thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is episode 384. And what we'll do is we'll have the show notes available for you at extremehealthradio.com/384. And I want to say this episode is brought to you by Bellicon Rebounders, our favorite rebounder on the market. And it's a great, great tool if you guys are interested in and a really, really interesting exercise that you can't really mimic anywhere else. And it exercises and stimulates every single cell of the body. And it's also really great for lymphatic drainage and cleansing the lymphatic system. And
like no other exercise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like no other exercise known?
Well, you can get lymphatic drainage. Remember we had that in Dominican Republic?
Yes.
On our health retreat. But there's no real exercise that does this. Jumping rope does, but then you got the impact on the joints.
Right. So it's low. Is it no or low impact, this Bellicon?
I think it removes around 80, 85% of the impact on your joints.
That's amazing.
Which is cool.
I love our Bellicon.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing.
Go Bellicon.
Go Bellicon. So if you're interested in the Bellicon, just go to extremehealthradio.com/Bellicon. That's B as in boy, E-L-L-I-C-O-N. And you can check it out along with many other great products like our sauna, Qigong course, things like that in our store. And there's links for that at the top of our website right now too. So check it out, extremehealthradio.com/Bellicon.
And I have to say, Bellicon's a really fun summer product. I don't know. I get more inspired to like really bounce my brain out in the summer.
It is.
It's just a really good exercise. It kind of mixes it up. Like, you know, fall and winter are really good hot yoga type times to kind of go more inward. I don't know. Bellicon just feels like lighter and happier when it's summer. I love it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
so you guys might want to check it out.
Increases endorphins too. You just feel good when you jump on that thing.
You do. You feel really good.
And for those of you that aren't sure about whether or not it removes all the impact, I had a torn ACL in my right knee and I'm able to do the Bellicon. I never got surgery for it. I got prolotherapy shots, but never got surgery. And on previous rebounders, I just could not do the exercise. So this thing is like jumping on a trampoline.
Well, it was funny. I mean, we had our little, there's nothing wrong with other rebounders at all, but we had a little cheap one from Walmart or something to start out with.
Yeah.
And now it's like, if we were to go back, we first got our Bellicon. We jumped from that one onto the other one. It was like landing on cement.
Oh, man. Oh,
it was so bad.
Night and day.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's a cool thing. So check it out in our store if you're interested. And now we're going to get on to LaShonda Green, who is an iridologist, a health coach, a great, great person. We had her in studio.
And you can check out her website, higherpurposehealing.com.
Yeah, she's up to some cool stuff. like going to fruit festivals and things.
Fruit luck.
Fruit luck.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's awesome.
So this is episode 384, extremehealthradio.com/384, and we'll get into the interview right now.
June 13th. We put notes in case people want to. Are you going to make it an episode number? Because
we'll do. Yeah, I'll do an intro and stuff for it later.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah, let's just flow. Are you up for flowing? That's how we roll.
Nice.
Perfect.
Well, we're already going, so.
Oh.
That's all natural.
Oh, I love it.
All natural. So yeah, try to get a little bit closer if you can. I think they say
you
be.
You can move it this way too.
A little bit closer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going. Awesome. We're going. So you're headed. We just covered this a little while ago, but you're headed to a fruit farm, right?
A fruit farm.
I love it.
A fruit luck. I'd never heard. You're the official first person I've ever heard use the term fruit luck. Did he make that up, or you make that up?
I think there's meetups where people go to fruit luck. There's a whole community of people who are very enthusiastic about fruit.
And they're not just fruitarians, like they eat other food, or that makes sense.
Hey, what's your diet like lately? Yeah.
I love it.
I saw the thing on your Facebook page of that guy that, pretty interesting, the guy that was a former bodybuilder or a big guy, right? And he did a 30-day challenge, I think. And he did no animal products for 30 days, and he increased his strength. He lost weight. He increased his speed, all these things. Pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. I think journey, because I was raw vegan for a long time and I was feeling feel good. And I saw like my body healing in so many ways that didn't involve diet as well. So I took a time to just get reconnected with my food and start just loving anything I ate and focusing more on how I was feeling when I ate it.
Oh yeah.
Actual food.
Can you get a little bit closer if you can?
Oh,
very close.
Almost like you're eating the mic.
Yeah. But, yeah.
My new diet.
Yeah, your new diet. Microphones. You can get cleansed from those metals. It's like impossible. But you feel like you've kind of expanded your diet a little bit more.
I have.
Recently.
Can I just say, this is a conversation I'm so glad we're about to have, because on our last Free For All Friday you and I just had yesterday. This will be played in the future, but for those listening, it was episode
381.
And we spent a good portion of that time talking about the emotions involved around eating and the dogma. And when you become, it's almost like, I feel like we were chatting about when you have a health issue, it's very easy to become obsessed with sticking to a specific diet or not cheating, quote cheating in air quotes or whatever. And you almost stop living life and life becomes just food. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I think it can become a very unhealthy thing for people. And we were just covering this. Is that the kind of, were you kind of feeling like you, yeah.
Were too dogmatic for
too
a while?
Too dogmatic?
It wasn't about, I wasn't dogmatic, but there was just a lot wrapped up into, if I eat something, is it going to harm me? Like there was fear involved in the eating process and judgment, and it didn't feel like the right energetic environment to be healing and loving and living life when I was involved in that way. So I had to honor the fact that my body healed really rapidly under a raw vegan diet. I honored that.
Yeah.
But I also had to figure out how I was going to live my life and how I was going to eat. And I really am a fan of intuitive eating. Like, I don't feel like there's one diet for anyone. I feel like just where people are will determine what they eat. And I just had to take space and just eat a lot of stuff that I would have normally considered bad to...
like pizza and Häagen-Dazs ice cream.
And I had to find a space where I felt comfortable eating anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's where I am now, just kind of loving myself and loving whatever I put in
my
body.
It's challenging, isn't it, to have that? Because we're the same way. I mean, we'll have times where, you know, like I think we brought up this analogy on episode 381 where, you know, how people will say, oh, nuts are so great, but you have to soak them and get rid of the phytic acids and the skins and all. But we have these preconceived ideas about certain foods. And if, you know, if I have a... you know, some apricot kernels I want to eat for the vitamin B17. You know, it's like there's so much judgment that goes in with food. It's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have, I can't eat this because of this reason. I don't do well. You know, I don't produce enough stomach acid, or that's too heavy, or that's a bad combination, or that's a bad time of day to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre.
But what do you do when that becomes a reality? Like, I've done a lot of what I call spiritual work lately on the emotions around eating, and I will try these foods thinking I'm just going to be okay with it on a spiritual, emotional level, and yet, unfortunately, my body still reacts. What do you think that's about? Because that's so hard. I want to be in that space, but it's like, wow, while I'm dealing with these heavy metal issues and other issues, my body still rejects the food on a physical level. That's a really frustrating place to be.
Yeah, I hear you. I was in a space where I had pain every time I was eating apples, so I totally get you.
How do you work through that?
I don't know. I just went through that cleansing process, and then my body just got into a different space, both physically and vibrationally, I think. And then I could eat things that I couldn't eat before. And have you ever been to a restaurant? Like, it's sometimes I go to Buddhist kitchens or like certain restaurant where there's a lot of energy and intention and calm within the kitchen staff, and it just digests differently. So I don't know. I just think there's a lot involved with the energy of the eating food, like where you are, where the other person is that's preparing the food. And that when things shift, I think you'll be able to eat a lot more things later.
That's what my hope is. When you said intuitive eating, does that mean whatever you are feeling on, like, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically, your body needs? Or are you doing things like muscle testing with food? Or are you just kind of going off of your gut at this point when you eat?
I feel into so many things in my life right now. Like, I have to feel it. I have to be inspired around it. And I have to trust it.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of people don't trust themselves. And that shows up with their food and eating as well. It did with me. And I came across a video by Abraham the other day. And she was just like, there's just so many people eating things in a dogmatic way while their body's craving something in particular, but they're not allowing themselves to go to it.
How do you mean? So they're eating food in a dogmatic way, meaning like they may be vegans or they may be paleo people, but they're very dogmatic about what they're eating.
They're wanting to eat a steak for dinner. They're drawn to it.
Yes, they have gotten in their head that there's a certain way of eating, but their body is specifically asking for different things, giving them cues that they need certain things in order to like keep that balance, that homeostasis that the body needs. But they're not allowing themselves to go to it because it's like a mental block on top of the intuitive call. And I'm more a fan of getting back to that intuitive call, but that's also why I'm a fan of the detox process, because I don't think we can hear the intuitive call, and the cleansing process helps us hear what our body needs.
Yeah, because you do a lot of work with connecting people to their energies and their emotions behind certain things. Hey, have you ever seen those things on certain websites where the blogger or the guys writing the article will list a bunch of foods, you know, and the title of the article will be something like, are these foods paleo? And then they'll describe whether or not they think those foods are paleo, so they're okay to eat. Because, you know, paleo people don't necessarily, or some of them don't do dairy products. I just find that so bizarre to ask if a food has a certain label on it, so then it's okay.
Put it into
a
category.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it kind of goes completely against our nature in terms of trusting.
Yeah,
that we can feel what we need to eat. That's like, how animals do it.
Yeah,
right.
They're not confused. They don't have nutritionists.
They don't ask if it's paleo. You know, it's like, it's bizarre. It's so weird because, like, why do we seek a label for something? Because I think people really do like, I think people like structure, though. I think they want to feel a part of their, of something bigger and something that's got some framework to it. And I think that people have lost the ability to feel anything and to sort of be intuitive with their own bodies and know what works for them, what doesn't. They just like to know, okay, is this, like your mom, and my mom used to do, what is that diet called where they count points?
Oh, the Weight Watchers. Oh.
Right. You know, it's like, are these foods on this list? And if they are, then it's easy.
Uh-huh.
How many That's points bizarre. Is something worth?
Foods just aren't really points. Weird.
Food is food.
Food's food.
Food is medicine, not points.
Yeah.
I totally resist.
That's a good meme. You
yeah,
should do a meme
I,
on
I
that.
Agree that people need or like structure, but I totally resist that. I totally resist that whole thing.
Yeah,
I've
me too.
Been resisting like being in that space because some people think I make meal plans for people. And that space of counting calories and nutritional advice. I haven't looked at the back of a can or a back of a label in so long. Like sometimes yeah. I'll check out the ingredients just to see how many there are in there. But I don't count anything anymore. I think people who look for that structure are energetically saying that they don't trust themselves.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I think
true.
That's what they're saying. Yeah. I don't trust myself to know what my body needs.
You know, what's weird is for a long time, I never could feel what food did to me. I'm sure you're the same way. Everyone. Mm. And now, Kate, it's funny, you'll say to your mom, you'll say to your dad, my pancreas hurts or my liver hurts. And they say to you,
You can't feel
how your you liver. Feel? You can't feel pancreas. Who are you?
I think they think I'm making it up.
But it's true, though. I think the cleaner you get, not saying that, I mean, we all have, you know, we could all do better, but you can start to feel your organs in certain ways. And if you really get in touch with how food's affecting you, it's that's where we want to be, right?
Yeah, I think that's very cool that you can feel your pancreas and liver.
It's a trip. Never did I think I'd be feeling those organs, but when you create that space to listen to your body, it will speak to you, I think.
Yes, I think the body is speaking to us at all times. And you were mentioning a few things that triggered a couple of thoughts for me in terms of it really is all about, I feel like the what we choose to eat is determined by where we're vibrating energetically in terms of our thoughts and emotions. Like it's just, that's the connection. Cause when I'm feeling happy, I'm eating pretty much fruits and veggies and salads and smoothies and
all.
Yeah. And if I have a dip in my diet to where I'm craving pizza and French fries, like I think the first thing is usually like a self-judgment as far as eating bad food.
You mean so at the at that time you'll judge yourself or you're feeling judgmental in your life?
The tendency is wanting to judge myself for those quote unquote bad foods when they're not bad foods. They're just messengers as far as, hey, look at how you're feeling right now. And so when I tune into how I'm feeling, then I'll see everything that's going in my life as far as the worry or the stress or whatever. But that's how I usually find out. Like if I'm craving French fries, I'll usually have the French fry and then check in about how I'm feeling, shift that, and I start craving smoothies again the next day.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
Yeah, that's where I am right now as far as tuning in.
I can't imagine. I mean, that's good because I mean, that's where we need to be, I think. I think it's where we need to be in terms of being in connection with our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you're not in connection. You're just, you don't even, you know, you can't even feel. I remember thinking back in the day, I used to be able to eat In-N-Out, like a triple layer burger, fries and a shake, and I would be fine. And that would just put me on the floor right now. I could not deal with that. My stomach would just explode or something.
I think there's a new burger by Carl's Jr. that has hot dogs and chips on it.
Are you serious?
Really?
That would put me on the floor.
Oh.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh. Definitely not a good combining.
Food combining.
Food combining.
Poor food combining, poor definitely. Food.
The poor food combined burger.
Do you do any of that now, food combining? Like general principles?
I don't like to think about it a lot. I think it's important for people to think about if they're having digestive issues. It's more important to think about. But it is a process of getting out of my head around that. And I know intuitively that my body likes simple combinations. It likes simple foods. It doesn't like buffets. Like things get a really gnarly in my digestive system when I'm eating like
25 foods in one meal.
Like, you go to a house party, there's just a buffet of food and you're like, yeah. And then your body's like, no.
No.
Yeah. The next day it's like drinking or something.
Yeah. So there are certain combinations I just naturally stay away from. I don't combine melons with anything.
Yeah.
It does not go well with my digestive system.
And I've heard melons, you shouldn't even combine them with each other, like a watermelon with some other kind of melon?
Some people think to keep the melons just completely by themselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I put melons together. It just depends.
I heard David Wolf talk about that one time as far as food combining, and he said he was really into it for a lot of years. And that's how I got into this. I read that book, Fit for Life, and that was all about food combining.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good because it gives you some structure, but what he was saying, which I thought was really interesting, I don't know how he knows this or if it's even true, but he was saying that if you can't combine food together properly, it has to do with a mineral deficiency.
Hmm.
I'd never heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was very weird because I would never think to eat like a watermelon with a regular sandwich, like a meat and, you know, regular bread sandwich. Like that just would not seem, you know, at all combined well for me.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you fix that, but I think it does help people to have a little bit of structure to know what. I don't really combine fruits with anything else. I kind of let, only takes a few minutes to digest out of your system, and then I'll have something heavier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but do a lot of your clients, when you see them, do a lot of them have digestive issues?
I think people have a degree of digestive issues from in general.
Yeah.
Most people, I don't think, are in tune that it's an issue until it becomes like, instead of a whisper, it becomes a scream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, I did this as well. I took a whole bunch of over-the-counter things just to kind of, there was gas and I took, you know, a gas X or whatever pill. So I think it's become commonplace, so commonplace that people are just kind of not really thinking it's a problem until it becomes
something bigger.
Something bigger.
Wow.
But it's always a sign that something's off.
I know, right?
Do you think we are all born with that intuitive side? I guess I should just say side in general, but when it comes to eating, and we've become so muddled in the system and the way things are in quote reality that we lose touch of it? Or do you think it's something that's developed as you grow and maybe you develop it or you don't because you're interested and open or you're not?
I think that's a great question, one that I've been considering for a long time. And I think we're all born with it.
You do?
I think we're all born with it in the same way that all the animals have it and that we're all connected to the animals on this planet.
You mean born with the intuition of knowing what's right to eat?
Knowing what's right in general.
In general.
Yeah.
Like knowing what's right for us.
Mm-hmm.
Your instinctual side.
Of what flows and what's right. And food is just a part of that.
Right.
And if we're having issues with the food area, we're having issues with the rest of our lives in terms of knowing what's right for us and what excites us and nourishes us and makes us happy. So that's my thought. It's definitely we're born with it and lose sight of it.
Mm.
You know, it's so bizarre because I think we're so far away from that whole idea of really understanding what's right for us. Because you see these certain situations in life where someone has a gut feeling, you know, if someone's getting beat up on the other side of the street and, you know, you should go across the street and help or do something, but something stops you and, it's like there's so many situations in life where we're so disconnected from what we would really do. Like we were just talking about this the other day. There was a guy up the street who got attacked by a cat, and it was the funniest story.
Gnarly cat.
But a cat ran up his leg and was trying to get to a dog that he was holding in his hand
up above his head
because the dog was really small. And I was telling Kate afterwards, like, if nobody were around, he would have done much more than just sort of run away from the cat.
Hmm.
But it's one of the things where I think we're just lost touch with who we are and our intuition.
Hmm.
So much so that events happen in our life that we know we should trust our gut, but for some reason we just don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre. It's weird. Huh,
definitely.
You know?
I feel like we're very disconnected.
Yeah, very much so.
And I'm just grateful for my own path in the ways that I have been able to reconnect. Meditation has been huge uh-huh. for me. I actually had a conversation with my mom, and you know, we've gone back and forth around this meditation thing.
Does she meditate?
She does not meditate.
She doesn't.
I've told her about it many times. It's been 7 years since I started.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she was just asking me about my connection with God during the meditation process. And I was trying to tell her, I was like, no, it's not a process of me like feeling like this huge presence of God. But I was like, I just get more quiet. Like I spend an hour each day getting quiet. So actually I can actually hear what's coming to me in other areas of my life. And she got it. she, from that just explanation of why I meditate an hour each day, she got it. So I feel like my connection to my intuition is stronger than ever. And I think the meditation process has been instrumental in that. And the detox process has also been instrumental, which is kind of cool because fasting is such a long-held religious and ancient practice. So,
yeah. So you've been meditating for 7 years?
Yeah.
What got you into it?
A coworker.
Really? Just brought it up to you and you thought, I should do this?
Yeah. I noticed there was something about him that had a lot more depth to him than I was exhibiting at that time. Mm-hmm. It made me feel very superficial in many ways when I looked at how he was just flowing in the world. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want whatever you're on.
Wow. I'll drink your Kool-Aid.
I'll drink whatever Kool-Aid you're on.
I'll take the red pill.
Wow. So to like in this day, when you, if you skip a day or you don't make time for it, mm-hmm. do you sense the difference very strongly?
Yeah. For the first 2 years, I went back and forth because I've always been in my head and had like the strong intellectual pattern. And mm-hmm. so I needed to do it like a scientific experiment of all sorts. So I would go 2 to 3 months sometimes, 2 months sometimes, and just not do it. And I'm like, I'm going to see if this actually makes a difference. And it did.
It did.
It actually did. I could tell the difference.
What was the difference? Did you just not feel grounded in your soul or yourself or your
I was just, I liked myself better when I did it for some reason. Like I was just happier. I was more connected with people. Actually, I stopped drinking after I started doing this on a regular basis because I felt like I was less, I used to feel like when I drank, I was more connected with people. And then
I resonate with that completely. Yes. I do.
Common thing, isn't it?
And then I started meditating and I started to feel more lonely in those situations when I was drinking and realizing I wasn't as connected as I thought I was to these people. And I stopped drinking. Just, it was a natural process. I started to feel more high when I wasn't drinking.
That is incredible. Last night when I was in the shower, I thought to myself, because I've been thinking a lot with my digestive challenges, I had to cut out all alcohol and it's been the best thing that ever happened because I realized looking back, I was drinking a little too much for my liking and it probably didn't do me much good. But I thought it's funny who you'll be friends with when you drink. These people, when I stop drinking altogether, I don't connect with, I don't see any of those people. But when you have that in common, it's funny who you'll hang out with and spend your time with.
That is interesting.
I'm friends with none of them. The only thing we had in common were, let's go out and get some wine. Let's go to wine bars. Let's go to, and I realized, gosh, isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. When you were, and I'm not judging anyone who drinks, but when I was drinking, these were people that are no longer in my life now. And that is just so strange to me. It just hit me last night. I thought, wow.
Yeah, that's
what happened to
awareness.
All those people? That was the one thing that brought us together. That's all we had in common was we were just drinking friends. Like, that's so strange. It's weird, though.
It's a huge awareness.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Wait, did you go through a time when you gave up the alcohol? Did you feel like you kind of became a hermit a little? Like, because I went very inward after I gave it all up. I felt like, wow, my desire to go out, let alone hang out with certain people, just completely left, which I kind of liked, but...
I could definitely see that tendency happening, but no, I feel like all of my friend circles shifted, like you were saying. People fell away and other people showed up in a new circle that I was starting to be in, which was interesting to observe. It was really hard, actually, to have that shift because I wanted to keep things the same and have all of those people in my life. And
so did you actively... break ties with these previous people, or did it just kind of happen naturally?
It happened naturally.
Yeah.
It happened naturally. I resisted it. That's one reason why I went through a year of going back and forth about giving up drinking because I was scared that nobody would like me.
Isn't that funny?
If I didn't drink anymore. And I just kept doing it, and my body kept saying, this is not working for you anymore. And I kept doing it because I was just like, I need to do this in order to have these friends. So, anyways, my friend circle definitely changes. It was a natural process. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to fully like sit someone down. I didn't have
to. Let's have a moment.
That is great. Can you imagine? Little did they know what they were getting into with your friendship.
I know,
just
right?
Sit them down one day and tell them why you're breaking up with them.
You're like, since I stopped drinking, we're no longer compatible.
Oh man, that would be
that's harsh. That is very harsh.
No, it was nothing like that. I totally welcomed. There were some people who did stay in my life, even though we didn't drink together anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like what you said, though, about the opening up of new relationships and your circles changing. Because even though I became a little more hermity, the people around me now are the people that I go, this is who I want in my life. It was very defining for who I valued and why I valued them. But.
So do you you said you meditate for like an hour. Do you do it in the morning?
I have a practice where I breathe and meditate for about 50 minutes to an hour, and I try to do it first thing in the morning. I experimented with that as well, doing it different times of the day.
Yeah.
The morning works best. It sets the tone for the rest of the day.
So you just get up an hour earlier for whatever you need, or just to make time for that, you know?
Yeah, just to make time for it. Some days, it's kind of like the food thing. I had to go through a period where I wasn't completely like dogmatic about it, to where I was feeling negative emotion if I missed a day.
See, that's the thing. That's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because we're so attached to our things that we do. Mm-hmm. We feel like we should do them every day. If we don't, we're upset with ourselves.
Yeah. I was totally not wanting to be in that space. I resist that space so strongly. So I went through where I was just trying to get comfortable with what I did do, but I'm pretty regular now just because I know how well it works for me. And then there's sometimes I do an extra 20-minute meditation in the evening if I have time.
So what do you feel like it's doing to have a regular practice of meditation for roughly an hour? How is it affecting you in your life? And what benefits are you seeing, do you think?
Like I mentioned before, I feel like I'm more in the flow. I'm more intuitive. I can feel into things. I can have more clarity. Mm-hmm. Like even in the way I just like show up with clients, or like I just feel like I have more clarity and I can be more present in any situation. Mm-hmm. I connect with people. I don't know what it is that blocks us from connecting with people, but when I meditate, that thing falls away.
The block, you mean?
The from block of connection. I don't know what it is, but I know that when I meditate, it's not there as much. Like I'm just more open to connecting with people, and it flows easier. I'm more natural. Uh-huh. I feel like the more natural I am, the more I'm able to connect with people. And if I'm not natural, maybe that's more in my head or more in my ego, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I just feel more natural and connected with people. So there's those benefits.
Mm-hmm. Is that why everyone you think is so disconnected pretty much in the world, culturally and genderly? Do you think it's because truly we're not spending enough time getting to know ourselves, so we're holding everyone else a little bit
at bay? Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it.
So meditation for people, I mean, we talk about it all the time with our guests. They say, oh, if you could do one thing that's free, that's good for you. Everybody says meditate. Yeah. But I mean, I know myself. It's like I barely show up to do it. I don't know why I don't carve out the time.
See, look at you getting all judgmental on yourself.
No, I know. Here I am, totally self-deprecating.
Fail.
Big fat fail. Big if anyone has learned anything.
That's
no, and I shouldn't be judging, but I thought, gosh, it's something that certain people, like in my soul knows it to be true. Mm. And the little experiences I have had with it, it is so powerful and it meets me where I'm at. And it's just so funny that I don't show up for it. Like,
but you know what?
To.
I figure with stuff like that, you know, I feel like you have a calling for it. Like it's calling you, it's beckoning you, and you know you want to do it.
Like chocolate cake.
That's right.
Which is a meditation unto itself.
Thank you very much. To the last forkful. That's right.
But it's cool. I think what you will do it when you know you need to do it.
Sure. Like everything else.
Yeah. For me,
I feel beautiful.
I've only been doing it off and on for a long time, but just consistently for the last few months. And I only do it for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I do this little thing. I sort of wrote out a bunch of affirmations down on a piece of paper. And what I want to do is write more and categorize them. But I put them in all on one file, and I read them. And then I put them behind, really softly behind music. Mm. And I'll listen to that when I meditate.
And that
so you
way
can't even hear your voice.
I
right?
can't even hear my voice. Yeah,
it's very underneath. So
it's like a, like subliminal. Remember the cool. subliminal stuff from the '80s? All the subliminal music.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. I do that, and I don't know if it's doing anything, but I figure it is. And I only do it for 15 minutes, but I just it feels like it's for me. It feels like you're just kind of coming home.
Hmm.
Does it feel like that for you? Like you just
beautiful way of expressing it. Yes.
Like you're just you. You're comfortable. And for me, I can feel where I'm holding stress. It's so relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so great.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Yeah.
And it's free. There's no judgment, free. Right?
And there's no judgment.
And you don't have to worry about if it's steak or if it's meat or if it's not or anything. It's just free.
And it's just and natural.
I do know people who can get in their head about meditation, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But that's awesome how you describe it, how freeing it is. I feel that as well.
You do?
Yeah, I feel that as well. That, yeah, it's a relaxation to where it just feels like coming home. Like this is me. Like this is really me. Like this space, this calm space, this natural space. This is really who I am underneath all of that stress stuff that I've built up for whatever reason.
And for me, I'm sure it is with you too. You can feel when you first sort of settle into it, you can feel where you're holding stress. And it's funny because after a few minutes, I feel like I'm completely relaxed, but then I realize, oh, I'm holding my shoulders up, you know, or oh, I'm slouching a little bit. And I just notice how my body's holding and carrying stress when you don't even typically, if you're not aware of that kind of thing. I don't know. I think it helps with being aware and creating a separate gap between your ego and who you really are so that you can have some kind of space to interact with people where you can choose to decide how you're going to react or respond to people, you know?
Yeah. I think that was one of the most huge things that came for me, now that you're mentioning it, is that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And that gap is huge because most of us are reactionary as far as the things that pop up and the emotions that pop up. And I remember having a conversation with my mom, and usually that is a reactionary.
I think most people can agree with.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like push button react. Like
problem reaction solution. Yeah.
And I remember just having this gap one day after I'd been meditating for a while and just choosing something differently, like just having enough awareness and space to not react and just be like, huh, like, look at this. Like, she just pushed my button. How do I want to react to this? Like, that's a powerful space.
So it's kind of cool. It kind of snaps you into an ability in a moment when you have your buttons pushed.
Mm.
It kind of snaps you into the ability to have a little bit of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
For a split second, and then you can say, okay, I can choose how I react to this thing.
Yeah, which is power. Like, it feels powerless to just constantly have people, like, pushing your buttons everywhere and feel like you don't have any space to
isn't that weird?
Have a say over how you react. And that's how most people are operating, just in this, like, whirlwind of reactionary stuff.
Yeah.
So it's power for me to be able to say, I choose to maintain my happy smile feeling right now, no matter what you're doing. So that's power.
That is power, being truly in command of your emotions.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not, I mean, you see Maggie just almost ran out of the room to go bark. I mean, dogs have no ability to have that split second decision about how they're going to react. They just put another dog in front of them, they just react.
Maggie needs to meditate.
Maggie totally needs to meditate.
Actually, she's pretty chill right
she's
now.
Pretty
so.
She's pretty good.
Right now.
That's pretty good. Go ahead.
Well, I just thought it was interesting how we were talking about one of my best friends recently, and it's like she's going through some hard stuff with her husband, and it's been a long journey, 10, 15 years of ups and downs and things, but she's come to this place where it's just the neatest example of seeing someone who is so choosing to be content in every situation, no matter what. So it doesn't matter if he's in a bad mood or he's laid up with work because he did something stupid or he's drinking, whatever he is or isn't doing. Whenever I see her, it's this calm blanket of just joy, no matter what is going on outside of her zone. It's like she's shielded herself and still able to love and express love to this person, but just not be affected by the actual situation. And it's just the most beautiful, I think, example, because you don't see that very often. Most people are really affected by whatever's going on with their relationship. It ruins their entire day, or until they figure something out or make amends, they can't be okay. And most, I mean, I've lived my whole life like that until recently, pretty much, yeah. I think.
Your happiness is based on what other people are doing or not doing or doing. Saying or not saying.
Yeah, which is what? Completely powerless. Like, it's just yeah. like...
Well, right. When you said that, I'm like, yeah, right. We have what power? There is no power. There's no personal power in that at all.
No.
It's giving it away willingly. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just giving it. We're not even, like, letting people try to grab it from us. We're just, like, handing it out, like, free grab yeah. bags. It's sad.
It's true. I think one of the most empowering things I've posted on my Facebook page lately is Byron Katie, a quote from Byron Katie mm. that says, "You have the power to be happy under all circumstances." Mm-hmm. And just most people can't believe that, can't resonate with that because they've been knocked here and there just by everything that's been going on in their lives. But that's one thing that came from meditation is finding my happy space and the power to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think it's actually changed? See, for me, I don't feel like it's changed my personality yet, but do you feel like it's changed your personality in a sense?
Mm. That's an interesting question. That one I hadn't really fully thought of until now.
His personality is kind of deep.
Huh. I feel like I was performing more before. In my life. I feel like it's unearthed my natural personality to mm-hmm. where I can actually be comfortable with myself and how I show up. But I feel like before I was in performance mode. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Doing what you feel like you should have been doing. And
to fit in or to make things work. Or so, yeah, I feel like that has changed. I'm performing less and being comfortable with who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I come across a bit more centered and grounded mm-hmm. and clear.
Mm-hmm.
With my personality.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know, does that answer your question?
Well, I wonder what's more powerful. I mean, I think I know the answer, but I wonder what's more powerful for the average person to get on a regular meditation practice or like what we're talking about before the show. We spent about an hour and a half talking, but how you were saying you don't watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
And could you imagine a complete opposite to meditation than TV? Talk about problem reaction, right?
Complete opposite, yes.
Complete opposite. It's like complete opposite because yes. they're looking for emotional triggers and they're looking to get you to respond or react to a previous script or something.
Yeah. Mm. They are definitely looking to get you to respond and react.
Yeah.
And be in an emotional space that you would not choose to be in otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't watch it.
So you don't have it at all?
I actually have one now. Someone gave me a TV when I moved to Los Angeles, and I hadn't had one for 4 years uh-huh. before that. And I took it because, I don't know, I just took it.
Yeah.
That's what I did, yeah.
And I have a different relationship with TV now. I choose what I want to watch,
mm-hmm.
and it's not all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because before I was like, oh, TV's all bad, turn it off, it's ruining your brain, it's corroding your brain. And yeah. now I'm just like... I like The Big Bang Theory, and I like Seinfeld, and I like The Voice. And
right.
I get in a really high space when I watch The Voice, like really, really excited and enthusiastic. And I was like, that is a good thing.
Yeah. You know, I think it's cool because I think there's a time in all of our lives, and I think it's an important time to have that sort of backlash period where you're kind of rebelling against everything else that came forward. And for me, it's the same way. We don't really watch TV, but we do watch things on Netflix, or we do watch certain things.
But
yeah, we control, and we're not. It's not like we're, you know, 7 days a week. I think the average person watches like 2.5 to 3 hours of TV per day,
mm-hmm.
which is so crazy to me. That's a lot.
That's a big chunk.
Imagine if you spent just 30 minutes of that meditating.
Exactly. No? Mm. People say they don't have time to meditate. It's like, I don't know.
What are you choosing?
Yeah.
But I used to watch TV all the time. That was me. I grew up watching TV.
So did I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was totally TV addicted. But
I
like the choice. And I think that's really where the models are going now, even with entertainment, is giving people a choice of where they'd like to plug in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. It's actually really cool because the idea of sitting down and watching TV because of certain shows coming on at a certain time
mm-hmm.
is just
archaic.
There's no, yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. But it's interesting though too how I like the work that you do and what you're doing because, I mean, obviously a huge part of it is helping your clients with their food and their digestion and their cleansing and things. But I really like what you're doing with emotions and showing how people can improve their health with things other than food,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think people think health, you know, it's, I think people think health and they think going to the gym or being fit like that, but,
or food pyramid.
Yeah. The food pyramid stuff, but mm-hmm. it's so much deeper than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just realized that through my healing journey, through my clients' healing journeys, from people I was watching on YouTube, and just intuitively knowing that food was important,
mm-hmm.
but there was this other huge component that was like a missing link for people, like a huge blind spot that they didn't know that they didn't know in terms of how important their emotional space is to what they're manifesting in terms of physical symptoms.
So you would see this with your clients?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see it when I could see it with myself, I could see it in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very apparent to me. And it's kind of like, it's interesting to see the same patterns in people produce the same physical symptoms.
Really?
Yeah. So Louise Hay has her book on all of that. And there's actually several other books that are more, it's like Louise Hay's books on steroids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorites is Your Body's Telling You to Love Yourself, by Lisa Borbeau. And it's the same patterns. It's mm-hmm. the same patterns that are triggering the same symptoms. And that's a powerful realization for me. And I think that would be a powerful realization for so many other people who are just stuck in their symptoms and not getting that it's a pattern
mm-hmm.
that they can actually shift that doesn't always have to involve food.
Do you find, or have you ever gotten results with people who have had a really negative pattern, but yet have made the dietary changes and they still are stuck?
Hmm.
Or does it require
both? That's interesting.
Both, I wonder.
Well, the reason I shifted my practice from just like detox with raw foods, because that's where I started, raw foods and herbs, that was how I healed myself, was because I was seeing so many people who weren't healing on a detox like the one I did, because they hadn't looked at those other patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that people who have the most detox symptoms during their detox are ones who aren't really ready to release those emotional patterns and thought patterns that they have. And the people who have less detox symptoms and who heal more rapidly are the ones who are willing to shift and to look at things and flow. So that was my own observation. There were people who weren't healing and they were on the raw foods, they were on the fruits, they were on the herbs, and they still were having issues.
Really?
So I had to like dig deeper in terms of like, huh, if they're not healing and this program is so powerful, I know how powerful it is. What's the hang up? And it's the other shifts, the internal shifts. So that's when I changed my whole practice and changed it from detox to holistic detox. And really started to pull in the mind-body connection to what I was doing.
So do you tell people to meditate? Or do you have
I
offer
now
them
just,
that?
I command them. Command
you
them
will
to be
meditate.
Peaceful.
I now require, when I work one-on-one...
You will do this.
I now require, when I work one-on-one with people, for them to commit to a mindfulness practice on a daily basis while they're doing their healing.
And what are some of the things people say?
The people I'm attracting now are into it. They're wanting to, they're getting it.
Looking, they're almost looking for something, for somebody to just probably tell them that, you know, something they maybe wouldn't make time or think of for themselves.
Yeah.
I think most people are getting it now that there's a big component missing to how diseases are treated.
Mm-hmm.
They get that there's a missing piece and they're more open.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding people are more open.
Are they coming back and ask and telling you some things that happen as a result of their meditation, and or is it just a sort of a part of
not it's just
overall.
A part of it. And it's interesting because I have to let go of like knowing like what triggered what. Like they're still on a cleansing diet, they're still on herbs many times, and they're still doing this, so I have to let go of like, it was the meditation that
because you want it to be that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I know that it's important. Both aspects of it are important. So, and this is all new to me. I'm just recently more shifting in this direction, very in a direct way of asking my clients to show up in this way. So I'm sure I'll have more observations in the future.
That's cool that they're open to it and you're attracting people that are open to it, because that would be challenging to, you know, have clients that just came in and didn't want to do that or something like that. But I mean, it's such a huge part of healing, you know, and getting in touch with. I think that all healing and all health
comes from spiritual emotional stuff, and I know you think the same way.
Yeah.
What I'm finding to be trippy when we're talking about this right now is that you and I were driving home from vacation, I think it was a year or two ago, uh-huh. and we were listening to Recall Healing, maybe about yeah. Recall Healing. Uh-huh. And I forget who that man was. Maybe you can remind me of his name, but he was talking about that situation where this woman, when she was pregnant, like 7 or 8 months pregnant with her child, got a phone call that her family member had passed away. It was like this tragic thing. And she was eating peanut butter mm-hmm. while she got the phone call. And of course, that child is born and has this severe peanut allergy. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these things where this is so deep. It's deeper than we even know if generational stuff is impacting people on a physical and emotional level. Man, it sounds daunting, but the work, like to unpack some of this stuff is just incredible. You almost have to connect so much so, without going crazy and not making it fun, but the journey to go so inward and heal this stuff has to be a lifelong process for people because mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever arrive, but you probably yeah. arrive at a place where you love being, but
yeah.
I have arrived. I am arrived? Fully healed, enlightened.
I'm enlightened
forever and ever, ever amen. She is the oracle.
The oracle, yeah.
But yeah, I totally hear you. And
it's funky.
The thing that came up for me is like, I really try to, when people show up to be healed, to make it less about that long, deep process, but more about like, this is your natural state of being. This is like who you are. And it's really easy mm-hmm. from my perspective to tap into. I've seen people tap into healing really quickly when they get on the right space in terms of their thoughts and emotions and everything. So I feel like it doesn't have to be so long and deep. I do feel like it's always a journey. Things are always being expanded and unpacked and everything. But I think healing can happen really quickly mm-hmm. if people understand this missing link component, mm-hmm. Which I don't feel a lot of people are putting in any or a lot of attention to. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of operating in their same patterns and not wanting to shift their belief systems and thoughts and emotions, mm-hmm. but it can happen really quickly.
What do you think the shift that takes place is? Like, if you could describe that in words, what do you think happens within somebody?
They get happy.
They get happy.
Huh. They find their joy and they live it more often than they've ever been living it before. And they allow themselves to be happy and they allow to trust what's, I think people intuitively know what they need to do to make themselves happy. And
I think so.
But they don't listen to it.
Yeah.
But to shift to that space can be really quickly if they allow it.
Uh-huh.
If
they get out of their own way and just let go of those old patterns, I think it can happen really quickly. If they know to look there, that's the problem. I don't think most people know how important it is to heal, to look there and actually be happy.
Yeah, it's humans are so complex. Aren't we such complex creatures?
But we are, because you think religion and you think people who grow up in a certain thing would have that peace, but so often, more often than not, I see those people just showing up, doing things and finding no peace in their life, but yet they keep clinging to it because they think that's the way. And I'm like, wow, then you think you'd see a lot more freedom in certain people. And that's sad, because I feel like if you're missing the mark, something's not working for you. And I don't know. I guess that's their journey to go. But
I think it's been really powerful to watch people who have like healed themselves from really like serious, 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 what you would call serious conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how transformational that is for them as a person, as far as what they're doing differently in their lives. Like I haven't seen a case where somebody's come back from something really serious where they didn't change like so much stuff.
Oh, really?
About how they show up in their lives.
So their whole life is changed.
Yeah.
As a result.
Just, it's not just who they are. And
diagnosis.
It's not just like, oh, I healed myself and I'm the same person. Like, no, they're a different person. And that's just how it is. Like, it has to shift on all levels.
Yeah. You really have to be, I think, doing the work in terms of changing your whole life.
Mm.
You know?
It takes a lot of courage.
It's crazy because you think about, people are stuck in energetic blockages or energetic personality traits in their life. And, it feels like it sort of takes the power away from them because obviously whatever reaction, whatever way they're reacting to something in a negative way that's causing that sort of downward spiral to happen in their life, it's obviously serving a purpose. I think there was a book that I was reading this and it made so much sense. It was,
I think it was that book you're reading now, Kate. What is it called? Reinventing Yourself?
Reinventing Yourself.
And he was talking about, you know, if you have a negative reaction to somebody or something or some, you know, situation, it's serving you in some way. So it makes you feel, so let's say you feel completely powerless in your life and you have an ability to complain about your brother, your sister doing something to you, your coworker, your boss. And when you complain and get so angry and upset, you're sort of releasing that emotion. So you know that's happening and that's a healthy thing and you know you're doing it, but you don't know what's going on. But it's also allowing you to feel powerful because you're allowing you to release that information and to get it out there and to complain to someone and to throw up all over somebody else. But it's allowing you to have some sort of power that you're not getting in other areas of your life. So I can see what you're saying. When people start changing everything they're doing, all the components of their life in a way that they're more powerful, then it's going to have a profound effect, you know?
Yeah.
Because in looking, well, like, how does this negativity affect me in a positive way? Like, I'm obviously, it's obviously, it serves me in some way to be so negative about this thing because it makes me feel positive. And that's the kind of thing where it's more introspective. Like, I think it's easier to figure out what those things are when you're meditating and when you're getting in touch with yourself, you know? I heard Deepak Chopra, I don't know if you've heard this, I've heard he meditates like 4 hours a day. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that, but that's intense.
I mean, for a guy that needs to get so much done in a day?
Yeah.
I mean, bizarre, right?
But maybe he just doesn't sleep.
Yeah, that's probably what he's...
He's so zenned out and in the space that he's like, who needs sleep?
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of meditation.
Yeah.
I'm not sure most people need that much meditation.
Yeah, that doesn't call me. Yeah. I'm good for 15 minutes
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, right.
I'll work
right
away.
I mean, some people think the amount of meditation I do every day is pretty intense.
That's what I was thinking when you first said
an
it.
An hour, yeah.
But, yeah.
Does it feel like an hour or does it...
No, it's kind of like brushing my teeth now. And I started off with a 20-minute a day practice. And I want to mention that I started off with breath work. Mm-hmm. A lot of people find meditation intimidating, but I found my breathing practice guided me to being naturally in a space of meditation.
How do you do it? What's do you have a technique that you do?
Oh, I did. There's several things involved. I learned it all through the Art of Living Foundation. That's where I learned my practice.
Okay.
And there's a pranayama in the beginning where it's different stages of breathing that you're going through, opening up different parts of your body. And it's different techniques all together. And then at the end, I finally have the 20-minute meditation that's a mantra-based meditation.
Oh.
So it's like 40 minutes of breathing
and
20 minutes of actually sitting in quiet time.
Wow.
So... Yeah, I was kind of putting it like I was actually meditating the whole time, but I'm not. It's only 20 minutes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the breath work is, it's funny because people will think, you know, if you have a thought during meditation, that's so bad and you shouldn't
How
really.
How do you clear your mind completely?
Yeah. But I find that like those are just opportunities to bring you back. It's sort of like, for me, I feel like it's like lifting a weight or something. It's like it's the opportunity to become stronger in the sense that you are aware of your thoughts aren't you. Mm-hmm. It's another opportunity to sort of connect with the fact that I can choose to keep thinking those thoughts or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thing. Do you freak out when you have thoughts?
Not anymore.
You know.
Not anymore. I was just so blessed to have that container of learning my practice and really great teachers that emphasized to me that all meditation is good meditation. There's a part where you say the mantra and not to use the mantra against the thoughts. Like it's interesting. Like if you have a thought and it comes up and it keeps coming up and you don't just like keep repeating the mantra in order to get rid of the thoughts. It was just kind of like make peace with the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And,
be okay with that.
Be okay with the thoughts. They're natural. It's okay.
Uh-huh.
And just having a teacher who let me make peace with the thoughts allowed me to be free of them And they stopped coming up so much after I settled into my practice.
Hmm. That's so interesting.
But I have days where my mind is just going, but I sit anyway.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, all meditation is good meditation, and I'm
just
happy.
Just do it anyway?
Yeah, and knowing I'm getting a benefit somehow.
Yeah, because I think you get attached to having a good meditation versus bad meditation.
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
It's that thing, that thing of wanting to be attached to certain things and judging.
I like what you said, though, being at peace with your thoughts and being okay with them. Mm-hmm. Because I think, like you said, people are so, think, I can never clear my mind. And all meditators, they just have a blank. But our mind is designed to think. I mean, it's what we do.
Yes.
And so, and rather than trying getting rid of your thoughts, just being okay with them and letting them flow in and then flow out.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Like the breath, really. I mean, it's almost like just a picture of what's happening naturally, anyway, how we're set up to work.
Yeah, maybe. It's a natural flow. The mind is naturally thinking. Mm-hmm. And I like making peace with all that. I think that's huge.
It's better than, I think, fighting the thoughts. And I think it's better than, you know how you see all these wordings with people today where they're fighting diseases and fighting cancer and fighting this.
Attack this.
It's all like...
Battling cancer.
Yeah, military sort of style language, you know? It's like fighting against everything. It's not going to get you anywhere, you know?
Yeah, I actually had this conversation, and this is how I show up with my clients nowadays, is one of the first things I say in our first session or intro calls is how I'm looking at the body is that it loves you dearly. And that everything that it's doing is in some way loving you and trying to keep you safe and in balance in some way, even though it looks like a really scary symptom.
So it's on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on your side.
It's on your side. It's maybe doing stuff you don't understand, but it's keeping you well and loved. And so that releases a lot of resistance for people, because before they come in with that I need to fight this. I need to get rid of this.
Get rid of whatever it is, right?
And just that space of like, oh, okay, my body's actually loving me. I'm gonna settle into that. And then also the idea of that your symptoms are sacred messengers. Mm-hmm. They are delivering you messages. Like that's the other thing I'm talking with people about. Like, how does it feel for you to know that this isn't just an annoying thing that's trying to attack you or something like that? Like, it is delivering a message. Are you listening? And what would it look like for you to hear it? Mm. Like that's kind of the mindset I'm trying to get people in, instead of this military language that does nothing.
Yeah, but create further strife and
dissension.
And it's interesting too, because if you were to think, like I've heard people doing work where, like Dr. Massey does this, where he'll if someone comes in with a tumor or something like that, he'll put them, I think it's some sort of gestalt therapy where he will have you pretend like your tumor is on the chair across from you.
Oh, I've done this with my liver with Dr. Massey.
Yeah.
I was talking to my liver 10 feet from myself.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, what would that tumor say to you? What's the message that it would say to you? And it's always going to be some sort of lesson or something, some sort of message, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a more... It puts the person into a more powerful state of being able to heal when you do it like how you're doing it.
When you're not fighting against something.
Because how could you fight something like cancer when, you know, traditional medicine has no answers for cancer? So you feel like the odds are stacked against you, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And it shows up, the way people interpret their disease usually shows up in other parts of their lives. Like if they're feeling like it's an attack, then there's other ways they feel like they're being attacked or they feel like they're being a victim. And It's just how they feel when they get something is usually how they're feeling about something else that's going on in their life. Like people respond to things in very different ways. Like they feel powerless or they feel angry about it, or they just feel like completely indifferent about it. And it's kind of like, where are you showing up that way in your life?
And
this is just another repeat of
like
that.
Manifestation of that.
Yeah. Another manifestation of that. But I find that most people, if I ask them, in the initial conversations, if your physical health issue had a message to deliver, what would it be? And people pause and they think about it, and they always have an answer.
Do they?
Yeah. Everybody always has an answer, and usually it's pretty spot on.
Really?
Really?
As far as like intuitively, what is your body trying to tell you to change in your life? And they just tune in for the first time sometimes, and they usually have an answer, even though they're not doing anything about it. They're like, oh yeah, I need to do this.
So you feel like they reach down into their depths and come up with like it just comes flying out of their
consciousness. People know that things are off.
Yeah, they do.
In their life.
Yeah.
Whether they're doing something about it is a different story, but they get it. They know.
That reminds me a lot of Lisa Rankin's book that I love, Mind Over Medicine. Have you read that book?
I'm familiar with Lisa, but I haven't read this book.
So good. One of the best books I've ever read.
Mind Over Medicine?
Mind Over Medicine is the best book. But she speaks of it because she was an OBGYN practicing for years and years and got burnt out. That's her general story, is that she just had to quit everything and regain her own, you know, health and structure in her life and freedom. But she was asking her clients, like, yeah, what would it take for you to heal? Like, what do you need to do? Mm. What prescriptions do you need to write yourself? And she said these people would break down and be like, things would come flying out of their mouth. They never would even have voiced
before. I have to divorce my husband.
I have to, you know, yeah, do these insane. I have to move to Northern California and live on a ranch. I have to X, Y, and Z. But, and then these people would leave, and a lot of them would go do these things. And like you said, other people wouldn't do the things. And, you know, there you go. There becomes the moment of choice where you have your, you know, choose your own adventure book and you do what you're going
to
do. With,
I used to love those books.
Those books the best. Maggie's loving this conversation. She's all over LaShonda. But I do find it interesting. Like, if people really get honest about what they need to do, it's the follow through that I think scares people. Cause I mean, this stuff is scary to face, you know, it takes a lot of courage.
It does, but it's so powerful for you to say all that, because at the subconscious level of everybody knows something's off and they're not where they want to be and they're not feeling the way they should feel on a regular basis. So it doesn't have to happen overnight, but for people to get clear that is a huge factor into why you're having health issues, to get clear on that, is, I think, huge for people.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel with your clients? Do you notice pretty quickly disempowering languaging patterns and things? How do you feel like language plays a role in all this?
Yeah, I do notice some disempowering language going on with people. I think most people feel disempowered in their life.
In general,
they don't feel like they have a control over what's going on in their body, what other people are doing to them. They don't see the power in being able to choose their reaction. They haven't tapped into that. They haven't felt that. So they feel powerless, and
It comes out in their language.
It comes out in their language patterning. Yeah. I do find that.
Yeah. I see that a lot, and I see it in ways, even, you know, that I hear people speaking all the time. And, I really feel like that's a big deal for people, is to be able to recognize whether or not they're using empowering language or language is going to systematically break them down. Cause I mean, our bodies do react to our thoughts and our language and the words we use. And
do you think that's the first thing that, in both of your opinions, people should work on if they're wanting to improve and open themselves up to new possibilities? Do you think, cause I know when we've talked about this NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and just the way that we word things and language things, I catch myself changing in the middle of a sentence. I'll say, like, that's so hard. That is quite a challenge. And I'm having a challenge with this, you know, and I'll reframe it, even if I don't believe it, in hopes that that will become, if I do it enough, it'll become a pattern. And then the pattern becomes a trust, and then the trust becomes my new reality. I mean, does that make sense? Like, even if you don't believe it, I think it's important to at least try to get into a pattern of change.
No, I think that's huge.
Then the change follows maybe later on, but even if you don't believe it.
I think that's huge. And I think it definitely is worth doing, even if you're not fully feeling it completely. I'm actually doing these new 30-day challenges.
Yeah, talk about that a little. That's fascinating.
The 30-day holistic detox challenge. And it's where people are taking on an 80 to 100% raw food diet, which is very healing and very cleansing. And at the same time, they're committing to a 15-minute mindfulness practice every day.
Okay.
And then there's weekly classes with me where I'm actually helping people retrain their brain to focus on the positive side of life a little bit more and learn how to do these new patternings. And so the first session is called The Power of the Present Moment. The second one is The Power of Focus, Power of Gratitude, The Power of Storytelling. And the storytelling one makes me really think about what we're talking about now, is just telling a new story around because the stories that people usually tell are usually ones from a victim standpoint of, I mean, I used to tell that story when I was sick. I was like, these doctors are stupid. They don't know anything about me. What's my body doing to me? And there was just so many stories I was telling that wasn't putting me in a space to heal. Mm. And so part of what I'm asking people to do is to look at how the stories they're telling are very disempowering and how to tell a new story that has this new way of retraining their brain of how to look at things, a perspective shift. So I think all those things are important, and that's why I'm trying to include them all in the same program for people.
So these courses, are they available? Is the course available online? And then those, like, what is that? A video or a conference that they have with you? Or how do they get that information?
I mean, there's different ways to participate in the challenge. One is free, and that's where there's a video of me showing a mindfulness thing, and they get to do the diet on their own. So it's like a part where they can participate for free. Mm-hmm. And then there's another part where they can register with me to have these weekly classes. It's available to anyone or online.
Okay.
Where I kind of lead people through the mindfulness practice, and I have these focuses where we're help shifting their patterns a little.
Nice.
So that's part of the challenge as well, if people want to dive in at that level.
Is this an ongoing, does it start at different times or one time and you're kind of in and for a session and then you start a new one? Or does, if people want to jump on at any time, is it kind of an evergreen sign up?
I'm wanting to run these monthly.
Okay.
And the first challenge starts on June 28th, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
And then after that, I'll be posting the next challenge and when that starts. So it's like a rolling thing. If someone signs up, then they would sign up for those four classes with me.
For that month or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So I think it's important, that whole mind-body connection and spirit thing, and just focusing on all those levels. And I think people would have a lot of healing by hitting all those levels.
It's funny because with the telling of the story thing, it's so interesting because we all have these stories that we tell ourselves. And they're most of the time, like you said, disempowering stories, victim related stories. And it's funny because we have the ability to sort of create a story about any circumstance or situation we want.
Mm.
You know, we see a guy flying down the freeway. We can tell ourselves, oh, what a jerk. He's just trying to get to work. You know, he thinks he's more important than everybody else. He's putting us all in danger. I hate that guy, blah, blah, blah.
Lives in the rich mansion hill.
Yeah, look at him and his car.
How he spends his money. Yeah. All these judgments.
But you could just choose to create a different story. You can almost lie to yourself and just make up a story about why that guy's speeding.
Yeah, he's running to the hospital to see his dying grandmother.
Yeah.
But you can change it, even if it's not true.
And
you can create, recreate.
You can have the ability to say, okay,
let it go.
I'm going to choose now to react or respond in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ability to make stories. It's like, kids in high school, like the stories they tell, drama and all the stuff that goes on in high school. It's just, or even work environments. I mean, adults are no different. I mean, it's, we have the ability to create any kind of story we want. And I don't know why we always choose negative stories. It's just maybe us as humans.
Well, when you said that, I just thought, isn't it funny looking back, like, still to this day, you're more prone at a dinner party to tell a story that's going to be captivating or entertaining, or someone's going to be shocked by something,
mm-hmm.
versus, I went to the park today and a puppy licked me.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's really going to tell these stories that are just kind of a happy moment. You're going to look for, oh my gosh, this one time I saw this car crash on the freeway. And it's just funny how we tend to gravitate naturally toward people's it's like you're looking for this reaction, which shows you you're not being fulfilled in other areas of your life that you even need someone react to you. But it's weird how we do that, isn't it?
We're all storytellers.
You
know? Totally. And that was a huge thing. I think we were talking earlier about the Landmark Forum.
Uh-huh.
And that was a weekend workshop that I took that was really transformational for me. And that's a huge part of that workshop, is helping you get clear with your stories that you're telling. And yeah, I had a story I was telling about my father for a long time, that he didn't care, and that's mm-hmm. the reason why he wasn't around. And after having a conversation with him, I realized that that was just a story.
Just a story.
After all these years.
After 20 years of not talking to him for
a
while,
gosh.
I got to connect with him and know that he loves me very dearly. And even though he wasn't around, he thought about me and he had really, really great memories about me. And it was just really nice. So stories can literally run our lives, and we make fiction reality. Yeah, that's what I found.
I like that. We make fiction reality. That's true.
That is a great way to put that.
Yeah.
And it's empowering to free yourself from your story. Like,
yeah,
it's the story. Like, there's the actual events that happened.
Uh-huh.
There's the story you tell about it. And it's usually the story that triggers the negative emotion.
Right.
In terms of either, like, feeling lonely or sadly or anger, not actually what happened. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you can disassociate yourself and separate the events from the story, you can free yourself from that pattern of negative emotion in a way that you haven't been able to do it. If you can see it, if you can disassociate yourself.
And what's cool too is that you can create new, and when you create new stories, instead of just getting rid of the bad stories, you can create new ones that are empowering to you.
Yes, right.
Exactly. Which I did with my health issues. Like, I used to, the doctors were so stupid and they didn't know, and they were just causing me more issues. They were the reason why all my symptoms exploded. Like, I just had a story going on and I was upset with my doctors. Mm-hmm. But my new story is, like, this health issue came into my life to empower me and to actually help me change careers and actually see my life purpose more in terms of helping people heal. So it's very, a gift. Mm-hmm. I've actually seen my health issues as a gift now, in a way that I saw them as an obstacle to living my life.
for people that don't know, you had a couple tumors. Is that what was going on?
I had a lot of stuff going on, but I did have a tumor on the back of my neck.
Uh-huh.
Chronic sinus infections and crazy body itching and allergies and digestive issues, like a lot of stuff, chronic fatigue. Like, it was just a lot.
Just a lot, all at once.
All at once. And I was as unaligned in my life as my body was unaligned and showing me physical health issues.
Really? Wow. Yes. Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean,
it makes
sense. Sort of what we've been talking about the whole time.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So the body is powerful. It's like this messenger. It's just loving us into change.
That's so cool.
I have a book coming in the mail, I think, today from Amazon. Louise Hayes, I don't know if it's her newest one, co-authored with Alia Cadro and Heather Dane, but it's called Loving Yourself to Great Health.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna keep loving myself instead of, and I have been more on this journey lately, but there's still that inkling in the back of your mind to, get upset or fight something or resist. But you know what they say, what is it? What you resist persists, kind of thing.
Definitely.
So I think it's when you really turn into, realizing, like you said, your body's on your side. It's your ally. It's not attacking you.
I like that. Yeah, your body's on your side. Makes a lot of sense.
Pretty cool.
For people that don't know, you do iridology as well. So
I
people,
do.
Yeah, that's a big part of your practice, right?
Yeah, it's a certain part of my practice. Mm-hmm. It appeals to some people, mm-hmm. and other people are not so into it. And I don't necessarily need it to figure out what's going on in somebody's body, but it helps illuminate the depth of some issues and mysterious things. So, it's a part of my practice. Yes,
and iridology has been around for how long?
I don't even know how long it's been around, but it's been around in other countries more so than the U.S. and kind of practice, maybe not on a large scale, but in certain circles, and it's becoming more popular in certain countries.
Yeah.
Yes, there's even apps. Somebody in Russia contacted me about being a part of the iridology app he was developing.
Really?
Oh, wow.
What does that do?
Yeah. How does that work?
Where it's just where you can... he was trying to make it where you can take a picture of the eye and then the app would already have things pre-programmed as far as things that you could tell, even just yourself, without seeing an iridologist.
Oh.
So he was wanting me to give feedback on his app.
Oh.
And it turns out that his app didn't help with taking a picture of brown eyes, which are a little harder to capture and analyze. So I have dark, dark brown eyes and it just wasn't working for me.
Interesting.
But I feel like it could work really well for lighter blue eyes and things like that.
Wow.
So,
but yeah, in Russia and Germany, other places, iridology is more known.
Huh. I feel like the U.S. could really use a resurgence or a...
I know,
not
right?
even a read, just a discovery
insurgents,
of...
Yeah.
insurgents,
yeah.
Of iridology.
Yeah, the body really does try to tell us things through... I mean, we've had people talk to us about, looking at our nails and all different types or areas of the body really do... Your teeth, gums,
gonna say. Mm-hmm.
tongue. People do all that where they read your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. The maps of the body are fascinating.
It's amazing.
They are. Maps of the body. I like that. Mm-hmm.
So if people want to contact you, the best place to do it is higherpurposehealing.com?
Yes, yes. They can contact me on my website.
Uh-huh.
My email is lg@higherpurposehealing.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or any thoughts around anything, we talked about a lot today.
Yeah, we kind of just bounced around. Congrats on the new website. It looks awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because this is much different than the last time I saw it.
Yeah, uh-huh. I have a new coach who's helping me just get the word out about what it is that I do and make it in a way that actually resonates and people can just tap into. So, yeah, I like it. Thank you.
On a superficial level, I do have to say you win the best hair award.
Oh, my gosh.
You have the world's best hair.
I know. Can I have a little bit?
No. Can you share it with us?
Can I have some?
Why, thank you.
You really do. I love that photo you have on your website. It's just this, you know, that photo just really represents your personality. I just think
that's
just
so cool.
You're a spark.
Oh, I love you.
Spark of life.
That's
beautiful.
Awesome. So you have a blog on there as well?
I do. I post some things to it. The videos that I do on YouTube. Some people connect more with me through the YouTube channel. And so
I love your videos, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I do.
Sometimes I think they go on too long, but there's just so much I want to say. I just get in the flow and I start talking and they just go past.
And you know what? The right people want more. I feel like that with the people I connect with. I'm like, don't ever stop. I don't get bored.
I know, right?
The right people will love your rambling video.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
I say keep them going, girl.
Yeah. So I plan on doing more videos and being more consistent with posting them. I have a new series that I'm doing called The Most Common Detox Symptoms, because that's why people end up at my website, is they're detoxing and they have these crazy things that are popping up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just having people give a heads up and where they can relax into their detox process a little more and understand what their body's doing.
That's amazing.
So that's the series I'm working on now.
Wow. And is that going to be a video series?
Yeah, the first one is up.
It's already up.
The most common one is cold and flu-like symptoms that pop up in their body purging mucus. So that video is up already and there's more coming soon.
Very cool.
So do you have an email list as well? Can people sign up? And
I do. I have an ebook that I came out with. It's called Your Body Can Heal Itself, and it's a collection of stories where people have healed over 40 chronic health issues with detox. And
colon cancer, fibroids?
Yeah, all of that stuff, and sometimes in not a long period of time. Sometimes the people were just doing food. Sometimes they were doing herbs. Other times people were adding in meditation. So,
are these people you personally?
Some of them I actually do personally know.
Interviewed,
especially the ones with Graves' disease. She has a very powerful story.
What is that?
Hyperthyroidism type condition that can show up in different ways. But when people join my mailing list, they get a free download of this book, and I just find it inspirational. All these stories, like your body can heal itself. Like that message is what I feel like I've been sent here to share with the world. Mm. So yeah, that's what the challenge is actually called. The Your Body Can Heal Itself 30-day challenge.
I like that. That's so cool.
Wow.
And it looks like you have a Facebook. People can sign up on that.
Yeah. Facebook
Twitter
as well.
And all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. Wow. Allergies, thyroid cancer, Graves' disease, ovarian cancer, multiple sclerosis.
Hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
The body is amazing. What people can do is amazing.
If anybody
tells you that healing is not possible, you say no.
Check out this book. So
in the
book, it's all these people's different stories.
Different stories. Some thoughts of my own in terms of my philosophy and how I understand the body and how it heals.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of those stories that you can just read and get inspired by.
That's cool. That's really cool. I think that's what's missing a lot in today's world is just because we talk a lot with doctors and, you know, people like you, health coaches and people that are doing some great things. But I think what inspires people is the stories of people who have gone through things and have actually come out the other end.
Mm-hmm.
When the doctors say, get your affairs in order,
mm-hmm.
you've got 3 weeks to live.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they turn their life around. I mean, that's, I don't know. I think that's more powerful than any doctor who's never, I don't know. I mean, they're both good. It's good to have the experts' opinions and things like that, but it's also, I mean, stories like that are just powerful.
Yeah, but it's also an opinion. Mm-hmm. the doctor's, right. It's an opinion based on what they know. Mm-hmm. And if they haven't seen the body heal itself, then they can't tell you that the body can heal itself. They can only tell you what they know.
Right.
So just you are going downhill.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So all I can do is share with people with what I know mm-hmm. is that I've seen miraculous healings.
Yeah.
If you want to plug into that, let's talk.
Yeah, totally.
Amen, sister.
Awesome stuff. Cool stuff. All right. So the next challenge is June 20th or 26th?
June 28th is the first day of the challenge. So yeah, I'd love to have more people involved with it.
What did I see on your calendar events? Let's see. What did I see on June 20th?
Oh, that might be not going on anymore.
Oh, okay. Okay.
A summer solstice party, perhaps?
Yeah, summer solstice. Yeah, 28th you have it. Okay. Awesome.
We might need to update the calendar on the website.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Higherpurposehealing.com. And we're going to take good notes for you. So we already did. So I'm not sure what... Actually, we'll do some editing, some editing after this and let you know what episode number this is going to be. But contact LaShonda, higherpurposehealing.com.
This is a blast. Thank you so much for coming in.
This is so fun and so easy.
Yeah.
So fun.
Thank you. All right. There you go. LaShonda Green. How was that?
Done. Another one in the can.
Another one in the can.
She is so inspirational. I find her so soothing. I love her voice.
Mm-hmm.
She just brings about a peace. She'd be a really good meditation instructor.
Or
yoga teacher. Yeah.
I bet you she can sing really, really well.
Oh, wouldn't you? We should have had her record a number. She should have recorded the intro.
Well, I don't know.
I don't think she could do that as good as I can.
Who's going to beat that, you know?
Nobody.
That's just top level stuff right there.
Thank you.
That's Academy Award. Isn't that an Academy Award? Is it SAG?
Whatever.
It's SAG.
Oh, brother.
A little inside joke there.
Oh, Flula Borg.
Yeah, but she was great, wasn't she? I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
She's
pretty... LaShonda's one of those people, I think, because I know her also on a personal level, hanging out a few times and just speaking with her and even attending the Agape Fellowship in LA a couple times,
mm-hmm.
Or once with her. But I don't know. Like, she's a very evolved spirit.
Mm-hmm.
She's so kind and so down to earth, but so non-judgmental of anybody's. I think that's the coolest thing. If we could all just let each other journey and be on our own journey at our own space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she'll ask you something about yourself, really care, and then nothing surprises her. She doesn't try to fix you when you answer it, and she just encourages people where they're at. And that's what I love. She's such a kind of come up under you and encourage you on your own path. And I just really appreciate people like that. And
you know what? Maybe next time we hang out with her, we can have her do iridology on us.
I would really
willing to do that, but
love to see how that works.
Her stuff over to do, but it didn't work out.
Her iridology camera.
Yeah.
She had a fruit lock to go to. She has a fruit lock to go to.
That's right. So,
yeah. Next time, I would love that. I mean, I think we got to look at her eye chart though when she sat in her living room and we chatted for a while before the show. Yeah, the eye chart's just amazing. I mean, again, it just kind of blows your mind with the whole way the body meridian connection works, mm-hmm. and there's so much wisdom in the eyes, and mm-hmm. and also just spiritual journey in the eyes. You know, the eyes are the window to your soul, and they say all that. Your eyes are a pretty trippy thing. So I think it's cool that her path led her from what hasn't the girl done? Raw food chef to health coach to iridology to energy medicine. Now she's leading, you know, those awesome 30-day holistic detoxes, and because this is a pre-recorded show, I sent her a text the other day. I said, how's stuff going?
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote back, oh, you know, my first 30-day detox is under, and I had a lot of signups. And she's like, it is amazing. She just loves it.
Really?
So yeah, she's off and running with that. So I know she mentioned on the show, if anybody, she's going to be continually offering them starting at different times. So,
oh yeah, that's right.
I would like to try it. I mean,
is she doing it once a month?
I don't know if it's once a month or once every 6 weeks. I don't remember.
Okay.
But keep up with her at her website, and you guys can totally check out what she has going on. But lovely person inside out. I just am so glad to call her a friend, and obviously she was a great guest to have on. But she's a fun one to work with.
Yeah, it's funny. Both her and our other good friend. What is her name? I'm drawing a blank on her name.
She's a really good friend. Amy Schuber.
Amy Schuber, yeah, because I was thinking who also came in the studio.
Right.
But yeah, they were both into sort of this landmark forum. I just find very interesting. I'm curious if any of you listeners have ever done the landmark forum.
Because they both had a lot of interesting things to say about it. Yeah, well, somebody... If anybody out there is listening and has done it, will you send us emails? I want to know more.
Yeah, because a lot of people say that it's like just a cult, a really, really, you know, cult. But then other people really, really enjoy it. And then you have people like LaShonda who recognizes people called a cult and sees that. And so she's not in between the two. She's a little bit more towards the good side of it, but she has a healthy distance from it, if there is anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really fascinating. She said it's helped her tremendously with her breakthroughs with her parents mm-hmm. and relationships in her lives and mm-hmm. things.
I think Amy said the same thing. I mean, she said it's really, really powerful. I don't know because I haven't experienced it. And I would love to look into it further. But don't you think it's anything like that? Anything
mm-hmm.
can be a good or a bad experience for one person, maybe not another. Or mm-hmm. you can use certain parts of it that you resonate with and throw the rest away. Or even if it just kind of sparks one little idea in you that 10 years down the road becomes something. I mean, is anything a waste or is any, if you go into it with eyes wide open, but you also have discernment and feeling comfortable or uncomfortable with things and you're really mm-hmm. listening to your spirit on things, I don't know if you should be afraid of, you know, other people's opinions about things. You know, I mean, yeah. people call things, I mean, if we're going to use the word cult, I mean, people call all kinds of things cults and I'm like, what makes a cult a cult? It's like, you have to really be a little bit careful how you define things and what you're basing that off of, I think, but.
Right.
I don't know. Anything that seems to bring life to people and people, you know, aren't just drinking the Kool-Aid and following anybody just because they said anything without doing their own research, then I think anything could become potentially kind of strange.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you said that. I did a rant the other day.
I love your rants, by the way. People can check them out on YouTube.
Yeah. There's a playlist that I put together.
Great.
For rants. But yeah, I did a rant the other day on that kind of subject where we get so many emails, people writing in, you know, about whether or not, hey, this guy says to eat all you know, fruit, raw vegan, and this guy says to eat meat, and then this guy
says to eat raw meat.
Raw meat, and then this
guy says never, ever, ever take a supplement in your life. This person says don't eat fish oil, or only eat other oils.
And so my rant was just sort of like, hey, we all need to sort of look at what all these people are saying and see them for what they are. They're just pieces of the puzzle. And remember when we were walking the other day, we found that piece of the puzzle?
Yeah, that
was just so poignant. And we were talking about this exact thing. It's all of a sudden a piece of the puzzle is on the ground.
Yeah, we actually found a puzzle piece walking along the ground.
We were just talking about it.
We were that day.
Just right then.
Was it right then?
We're talking about pieces of the puzzle.
Being handed to us and how we're the ones responsible for putting the puzzle together. But, you know, God hands us the pieces as we need them. And yeah, we looked down. I didn't know it was right then, but I thought it was earlier that day. But there was a puzzle piece right in front of us, just one piece on the sidewalk. And we're like, oh.
And it happens, the backstory of that is kind of weird because it happens to be in an apartment down the street that you used to live at, where the person the day before was putting out a bunch of junk, like puzzles and stuff,
books, garage sale,
to take for free.
Right.
And it just so happened, we saw it that day, and then the next day, it's like that piece of puzzle was just from that junk that never got picked up.
That was the one thing that was stuck out of all those bags, like that were removed that morning. The one thing was puzzle piece. That was meant for us. That was cool. That was just for us. Yeah, I don't know if Landmark is part of someone's puzzle piece. So I think that could be a cool thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? We're all on a journey.
Yeah. So if you guys are interested in checking out LaShonda Green, her website is higherpurposehealing.com. And if you want any of the show notes of all the different things we talked about in this episode today, you can go to extremehealthradio.com/384. Don't forget, you can also text get healthy to 33444, and you can get a free audio program from me, as well as a great ebook. The audio program was about how I overcame my food addictions, which is pretty awesome. And also, you'll get a free ebook. The physical version of the book sells for $20 on Amazon. So we'll send it to you for free by texting "Get Healthy" to
333-333-444.
And you can sign up easily that way. I also want to let people know what else. This episode was brought to you by Bellicon. So if you're interested in rebounding and cleansing your lymphatic system and stimulating every single cell of your body, I would highly recommend everyone start rebounding as part of their daily thing.
It's a heck of a lot of fun.
It is.
I love it. It's just fun. It's a fun, fun way to exercise.
It's cool. And for me, I watch documentaries, so I get to learn a lot of cool stuff while I'm doing it. I do it for about 20, 25 minutes a day. And it's just been one of the best things I've ever done in terms of my exercise routine. It's just different than everything else. It's like, it's not like going for a walk. It's not like going to the gym. It's not like yoga. It's just it's on a completely different
I think, plain than those other exercises. And I think it's really beneficial to do, and I've been doing it for years now. And
word to the wise, just do not eat or drink too close to going on the Bellicon. If you're like me, you will get a side cramp, and you'll be very sad because you want to continue, but sometimes you're forced to stop because you ate too close to it.
That's true. That is
true. So yeah, just on a side note.
Yeah, so if you want to check out the Bellicon as well as the sauna and all kinds of other great products that we have, you can check them out in our store. That's how we keep the show free. And also, I want to let you guys know, too, I want to thank everyone who's been supporting us on Amazon and bookmarking extremehealthradio.com/Amazon. You bookmark it, and then you use that bookmark to shop for all your future purchases. That helps us a lot. So I want to thank everyone for doing that. It's a really simple thing, and it takes 2 seconds to do. And once you bookmark it, you just remember to go through that. And it helps us tremendously. So we thank you for that. We also thank everyone who's been signing up on Patreon, too. This show is sort of sponsored by you.
My gosh.
So it's been huge that people have been signing up to donate 25 cents or $1 or $5 per show. And we just thank everyone for that.
Makes this show it really does. It's keeping these shows possible. So yeah. You guys are amazing.
So if you enjoy the show and you like them and you like the fact that we're doing them for free, and you also like the fact that we've recently moved to commercial-free shows. All of this content is free, 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 free. But in order for things to be free, someone has to pay. So we're putting in our time and effort in creating these shows for you. And if you would be so kind as to donate just a little bit, that would be amazing if all of you guys could do that. So
as little as $1 a month, 25 cents a show or a dollar show. I mean, it really, really, really all adds up. If everyone could chip in and keep this going, we'd really be really, really grateful.
Yeah, we would. Because we've got so many great plans for video and more shows and all this stuff, but we need your help. So
you guys rock who've done it. Yeah. You rock. We get so excited. We get so excited when we see a new one come through and just,
I know.
It allows us to continue. So you guys are amazing.
And thanks for all for sharing our shows on Facebook.
Yes,
thank you for that. On our Free For All Friday shows, which is what we're going to do coming up this week, we'll read off the people who have shared our show and who have donated on Patreon. So we appreciate that a lot. All right. That's it, right?
That's it. Love you guys. Have a great day wherever you are in the world. And we will catch you on the next episode.